Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. As always, it is very, very, very wonderful to have you listening to the show this week. So as you may know by now, this season is all about GSD, getting shit done. And last week I brought you the first of three live mentoring episodes. Last week was with the amazing Sarah Felice, and I had so much amazing feedback from that. So thank you to everyone who got in touch with me and with Sarah after last week's episode. And this week I've got the second of my live mentoring sessions, this time with Michelle Gardner. Now, before I jump into my chat with Michelle, I wanted to quickly remind you that next Tuesday, Tuesday, 25th of August, I am hosting a free masterclass, which I'm calling Bonus Time, and it's geared at helping you get an entire 5 hours a week back in your life. I'll be sharing in the masterclass the 5 strategies that I use myself and that I've taught to thousands of people to help them unlock more time in their weeks, including the number one tip I give to overwhelmed people, why boundaries equal more time and easy ways to create more time in your life and boundaries, how decisions are the enemy of productivity, what a positive feedback loop is and how to build one of your own, but most importantly, how to get back 5 hours a week. Every participant will also receive my special Bonus Time playbook. It's the first time I've actually created a playbook for one of my free masterclasses, and it looks awesome. And also, in big news, these 2 sessions next Tuesday are also the official launch party of my new program. And everyone who attends will get the skinny first on an epic bonus bundle that I've created to accompany the program. There are 2 options to attend. There is a lunchtime session from 1 to 2 p.m. Sydney time, and one that night. So again, this is Tuesday, 25th of August. A second one is from 8 to 9 Sydney time on that evening. So if you can't make it, zero drama. Everyone who registered is going to get the recording and also the Bonus Time playbook as well. So if you want to register, you can go to lorrainemurphy.com.au/masterclass. And I will also pop the link in the show notes as well. So on to this week's episode. So Michelle is another wonderful LM Love Club member. And with this session, so Michelle's from Sydney. She's a marketing manager for a healthcare startup, which is a role she has just started and is adjusting to the new pace of startup land. She also has a passion for, wait for it, circus skills. This passion requires her to train 4 to 5 days per week. And to add to her list of priorities, she also loves creative writing and is trying to find time to work on her short story at the moment. Michelle's biggest organizational block is finding the time to devote to each of these priorities, as well as see her friends and tend to the general adulting that we all require to live. Michelle feels that her attention is split between her different projects and often feels guilty when she's focusing on one and not the other. She also tends to get distracted by social commitments and struggles to protect the time she previously committed to her hobbies when invites come her way. In our session, myself and Michelle talk about how acknowledging that we can do it all but not at the same time can be a helpful time management tool, why structure and scheduling is a critical ingredient to creative projects, the reason that being active out in the world serves our creative projects, and how setting weekly benchmarks for social time can ease the FOMO with our friends. So I am super excited to bring you this chat with Michelle. She's a very, very interesting woman, and I really, really enjoyed this chat with her. So over to myself and Michelle.
So I'm here with Michelle for our next installment of helping people get unblocked for the GSD season. Thank you so much for joining me, Michelle.
Super excited to have a chat with you, Lorraine.
Oh, thank you for being here. And I think, is this your first podcast interview as such?
It is, yes. I've spent a lot of time on Zoom lately, but definitely not on a podcast capacity.
Yeah. Oh, God, haven't we all? I think death by Zoom is a thing now, isn't it? It's funny.
Totally.
So, Michelle, for everyone's benefit, give us a bit of a kind of a background to you. So you're in Sydney. Just, yeah, give us a bit of a who you are summary for everyone listening.
Yeah. So I'm Michelle. I am 30 years old. I live in Sydney, which is really great. And I work as the marketing operations manager. So I just joined a new company. It's a tech healthcare startup, which is crazy hectic and a lot to take in and learn about. And mm-hmm. in my spare time, I'm really passionate about my creative self. So I'm an amateur circus acrobat. And
so cool.
Love it. It's so, so much fun. And I'm also an aspiring writer. So I love getting pen to paper and expressing myself.
Love. Oh, that sounds such, it's so interesting because I'd imagine a marketing operations manager is quite technical. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what drew me to circus in the first place is I've been in marketing for 10 years now, and having the option to do something for my inner child, something a bit creative, was really appealing, and trapeze classes kind of fell in my lap. And I've been doing it ever since.
So cool. I actually did a trapeze class years ago when I was in public relations. We took a group of journalists. I don't even know why. It was something, I worked on Nivea and we launched this new tin of a Nivea body cream, and it was a circus theme. So we brought them to circus class, and I swear to God, I stood at the top of that trapeze for like a good 60 seconds. It doesn't look that high, but when you're up there, holy shit, I was terrified.
It is a lot. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe you think so. I was just terrified. Okay. So when did you start the new role then?
I started 3 weeks ago.
Okay. And did you come straight from another role to jump straight into this one?
I did. That's a little bit of a regret of mine that I didn't take a few more days. I tried to sort of express my, you know, calm down time and a bit of a relax with a trip to a day spa. But just having a long weekend between gigs was rough.
Yeah, that's pretty full on. And I'm totally making an assumption here, but is this startup related to the pandemic in some way?
It isn't. So it's a company that does AI algorithms that help radiologists.
Okay. I was just wondering, when you said it was crazy busy, I was like, oh my God, has someone just started a business in the midst of all of this? And it's just going from go to woe in a very short period of time.
I think it's just startup vibes. Like there's no process. Everyone's madly trying to make some money. So it's definitely a change of pace, where I was in quite a large organization before.
Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. That would be a big change. And I think... I know I've hired people into my previous business, not so much this one, but my first business, who have come from large organizations. And it's definitely a big gear shift. You know, it really is like a very, very different pace. And I think, yeah, particularly for those people who come in and wanted the structure and the process. And I'm like, sorry, dude, that's your job to make those up. So I can imagine that's been a pretty big shock to the system moving like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So what's your big block, Michelle, at the moment, when it comes to getting organized?
For me, I would say it is prioritizing, but there's a lot I want to achieve in my life professionally and creatively. And I guess as well, having just moved into a new job, I would love to look at how do I maintain some of the practices I established around my mornings and my, you know, making the time for priorities, you know, amidst all the chaos.
Yeah, got it. Okay, cool. So I ask this question at the start of all my mentoring sessions. So what does success look like or feel like? So you and I speak for 40 minutes or so, you get off this call and you're like, yes, that's exactly what I wanted to get from the session with Lorraine, whether that's a feeling or something that's currently not clear has become clear, or there's a clear action that you want to take. What does success look like or feel like to you from this chat?
Success is twofold. It would be strategies around how to prioritize, as well as feeling a bit inspired to make sure I'm, you know, focusing on all of the areas in my life that I want to focus on.
Got it. Okay. So almost like, is it inspiration or is it more validation that you're on the right path?
Oh, I will never say no to some validation.
Okay. You would. Good point. Love it. Okay. Brilliant. So can you give me an example when you say you're struggling to prioritize? Can you just give me almost like a case study, or whether it's something that's happening right now or it's happened in the last couple of weeks? Can you give me an example of what you're talking about when you struggle with this prioritization?
For me, it's that my professional life can really overtake all of the rest of my life. So I love being a career woman. I have a fantastic role model of my mother, who was like an outstanding businesswoman and really dedicated her whole life to work. But I do have that burning need to be creatively satisfied as well. And it's, you know, marketing operations manager. It's not something I necessarily find in my day to day, especially when my favorite things to do are write fiction and hang upside down.
Yeah.
So it sometimes can feel like a bit of a hard balance and a bit of a split almost in my personality, but it is a lot that there's a lot of different things that I want to do, and not kind of letting my work life overcome my personal life is a big one, especially having moved into an organization that has a culture of let's work really damn hard.
Yeah, got it. That makes sense. So give me an idea of your average week then. So, well, first of all, with work. So you've been there 3 weeks now, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. And are you working remotely or are you going into the office?
Mostly remotely. I have been into the office like 2 days though.
Okay, got it. So, but most of your working week is at home?
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. Was it a remote role before ISO would have hit, or is that a new thing?
They've decided that they want to have like a structure that is like flexible. So you'd be the 4 days a week at home and then 1 day in the office when the world resumes, the world resumes.
You know, it's so interesting, Michelle. I know Wade's looking at that for his team, because it used to be work from home and now they're actually calling it work from office, where you, do you know what I mean? It's almost like the flip, where you used to have 1 day a week at home and now it's exactly what you just said. It's the opposite. It's fascinating. So anyway, sorry. Yes. So you work remotely from home most of the time and then you go into the office sometimes.
Yeah.
Got it. And is there any set day that you need to be in the office, like Wednesdays everyone's in or anything like that?
No, it's very flexible at the moment.
Okay. Do you like that?
I do, definitely.
Okay, cool. So how many hours are you a full-time employee?
Yes, I am full-time at the moment.
Okay. So what kind of hours are you doing on average a week? Like what's your rough working day with the marketing hat on?
It would be probably 8 to 6 most days. There's some international calls after hours, which is why the 6. And my work is so much more effective first thing in the morning, so I tend to start a little earlier.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay, cool. And where does the circus come into it then in your week?
So I train Mondays, Thursdays, some Fridays and Saturdays, usually after hours. So it'll be like, 7:30 to 9:30 in the evenings, and I try and go in the mornings, so Wednesdays I can sneak in at 6 to 7, even though I'm not an early bird, not that much of an early bird, and I try and give as much time as I can to weekends, but sometimes I fall prey to the social pressures of I've got to catch up with this person, or I have to see this person, or family and those things, and I love all my family and friends, and obviously those relationships are critical, but sometimes it can get a bit hard to balance.
Got it. So am I right in saying then you're training 4 to 5 times a week? Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow, good on you. And it's very physical, I'd imagine. You must be super fit, are you?
Yeah, I can do a few chin-ups.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, so and where does the riding fit in then? I'm just trying to see the different puzzle pieces and where they fall into your week right now. Where does that come in?
The riding fits in on the weekends. So my really lovely boyfriend is a bit of a creative too on his weekends, and so he'll paint and I'll write. That's usually
you too. So cute. Okay, so Saturdays are because you're training Saturdays. Do you ride as well on a Saturday?
Usually just Sundays at the moment, and it's
nice.
Like it's not necessarily enough. I don't know whether it needs to be part of my mornings or how I would fit it in yet.
Got it. Okay. And when do you do your life admin, just like laundry, cooking? Like when does all that happen? Because you're actually quite busy. I don't like saying busy. Your week is quite full.
Yeah. So life admin, that's the best thing about working from home. So at lunchtimes, I'll throw on a load of washing, or I'll, get through emails and other things like that. So I do take my lunch breaks pretty seriously.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, cool. So with the prioritizing, so that's been really helpful for me to get like an overview of what happens week by week in your life. With the prioritizing, just to go back to that, could you give me another example of like where does that clash come in? Like where do you feel conflicted or where do you feel stressed, I guess is what I'm asking.
I think it's when I am at, when I feel conflicted about where I should be. So if I have left work a little bit early to go to a circus class, then I'll be driving to circus thinking, oh, I've got, you know, all these, you know, hundreds of things to do. Or I'll be working on a weekend when I feel like I should be writing, or I talked about those social conflicts of I feel like I should be catching up with friends or family and I'm actually doing something else. So it's maybe a bit of mindfulness and a bit of that allowing myself some space. But yeah, it can always feel like I'm in the wrong place or I haven't given enough time or effort or energy to something.
Yeah, I get it. It's almost like that. It's a guilt, I guess, and that feeling that you're in one place. I mean, a lot of parents, I know, will report this, that they're there with their child, but their head's still on the three things they didn't get done on their to-do list for work today type thing. So it's like our bodies Absolutely. Are in one place, but our minds are feeling, just feeling a bit pulled in different directions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. And I just had a thought, Michelle, as we're talking here, and I've written the word benchmarks here on my notes as we're talking, and it's, I think for you, because I it sounds to me like you're very... I want to say success orientated, but you're quite competitive with yourself. Like if you set yourself something, you're going to make it happen. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So I think with you, particularly around the socializing and so on, because as you know, I mean, and it's such a bloody quality problem for us to have, particularly those of us who are living in Sydney right now, not in Victoria. You know, we could spend all weekend catching up with people if we wanted to, and then, which is beautiful. And you know, there's weekends where I just love doing that. However, it can also be challenging if there are creative projects that we are trying to get done outside of work, you know, work hours, like employee hours. We can feel that kind of that pull and that it's just that conflict, isn't it? It's like there's a conflict between what you're doing and so on. So I'm just wondering if for you, it might help that each week you almost have a bit of a checklist, like I want to train three times or four times a week. I would like to see two friends, like catch up with two friends a week. I would like to have 2 hours of writing. Almost setting yourself a bit of a recipe for the week ahead and then baking that recipe into your week and how you're scheduling your week. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Because right now, are you planning your week in advance? How's your scheduling working? Talk me through your process.
I guess I can fall prey to saying yes to people. So I'll have my perfect week planned out in some detail, saying I'll do these things on these days. And then someone will dive in and say, oh, can you attend this meeting at 6 o'clock? Or can you, you know, can we catch up for coffee? Or do you want to come over? Or these sorts of things. And I'll immediately say yes. And then later go, oh, damn, that kind of throws out my, you know, my benchmarks, as you were saying.
Yeah. That makes sense. So I think, and I don't have visibility on kind of the chain of command of the office, because I know when you're in a certain level in an organization, it's hard to say no. And actually, kind of to a certain extent, when you're the boss as well, it's hard to say no when people want to see you. So how much pushback do you have? I mean, a 6 o'clock meeting is, and I know there's international factors as well. I mean, that's challenging. How much pushback do you feel you have on those ones?
I think I have a reasonable amount of pushback. Like I'm trying to get people to know Mondays and Thursdays are completely out for circus reasons. And making sure I am taking slightly later classes so I've got that flexibility so I don't have to run out the door necessarily. But I think it's just a practice of making sure my calendar's blocked out for those times so people can't book it in, just automatically assume I can make it and be there.
Yeah, I think that's a really good approach, Michelle, because you are making yourself, you're not saying I'm not available any night after six, but like Tuesdays, for example, you could do. And I can't imagine they necessarily land that much on a Friday, but you're giving people some wiggle room. It's not like it's a flat no, it's just, well, I can't do that this week. I can do it next Tuesday or we can find a different time other than 6 p.m. So it sounds to me like you're managing, and also there's the new girl thing as well, where you're trying to...
Yes.
Establish yourself and build relationships and not want to be saying no all the time. So I totally get that. So I think for you, I think the work thing, that seems like you're managing that in a really great way at the moment. I'm just thinking around the social side of things. If you do set aside almost like pre, this sounds very mercenary, I know, but it's just, I know that conflict that you're feeling. It's almost setting like designated times that like Friday evening I'm available to go catch up with friends and Saturday all day, but then Sunday's like my sacred creative time, for example. And just committing to that. So when I was writing my first book, Remarkability, I had written the first three chapters and sent them through to the publisher for, I was trying to get a book deal for them for it. And I went away to Bali for a week and I came back and I said, okay, I'm going to write that book by my birthday. And this was September. My birthday was the 1st of November. So it was August, sorry. So September, it was 7 weeks away. Anyway, so it would have been September. So I said, over these 7 weeks, I'm going to get this book written. And I booked it in for every Monday and every Saturday was writing time. So from 9 to, I think I did 3 p.m. on Mondays and Saturdays. And I felt like that was fair because it was a Monday came away from my business time and then Saturday came away from my personal time. And that was just locked in. I booked it into the calendar for 7 weeks in advance. And the goal was then that I have the book written by the 1st of November to my birthday. So, and I remember the night before, I think my birthday landed on a Sunday. And the night before, I think Wade was away or he was, or maybe he was at home. I don't know. This is before we had Lexi. And I was in the office. I'd gone into the office and I printed out all the pages double-sided for the trees. And I was proofing it all. Like I wanted it perfect the night before. And I was there until like, I think 10:30 at night on the Saturday. It was in the Friday. It was a Saturday night. It would have been Saturday. Proofing it. So I just had it like done by my birthday on the 1st of November. And I know for me, that really, really helped because it just helped me find that weekly rhythm. It wasn't like I was trying to find 2 hours on a Sunday morning and maybe get up a bit early on a Tuesday morning. That consistency and that it was just a blanket. I did not mess with that writing time at all. The team knew that there was no meetings were going to be booked in that time. And, you know, I started doing meetings again on Mondays after that. But and then Saturdays, there was just no weekend plans that happened on a Saturday between 9 and 3. What I really liked about it, though, was particularly on the Monday that I would write from 9 to 3. And then it just meant I had a couple of hours to get in touch with the team, answer any questions they had, just clear anything that needed to be moved along before Tuesday. But I think just that consistency was really, really good for me. So I'm not saying every Monday and Saturday necessarily is going to work for you, but just having some kind of a regular writing slot or creative slot, that really, really helped me because otherwise it becomes too easy to deprioritize.
That makes a lot of sense.
So what would it be for you then if you were to find a weekly or a regular writing spot for yourself in the week? What would it be?
Oh, I mean, I would love to keep this Sunday going because I think that's been reasonably effective so far. It would just be making sure I remove those social blockers, but it's probably finding a morning during the week to start maybe work a little later and get some of those words onto a page and being a bit more disciplined with that because it can be it's important to me, but it always seems to get, you know, it's the lowest thing on the list, but it's something I, you know, I need to do and I want to do and I really enjoy it when I do it, but it's always like, oh, I'll get back to that or I'll write when I'm retired or something ridiculous like that.
40 years time. I hear you, but also I think, Michelle, remember that it's very easy to push the stuff that we're not accountable to anyone else down the list. And I remember I run these workshops, these Get Remarkably Organized workshops. I haven't done them for years. I did in 2018. And I remember running a session down in Melbourne and someone just had, I do this exercise called the organizational wheel in that workshop. And it essentially asks people to identify what the top three areas of their lives are when it comes to being organized and what the lowest three areas are when it comes to being organized. And it's all visual and it's a really cool tool. And this woman had her own, like when everyone did the exercise, I was like, so does anyone have any learnings or insights or aha moments from that exercise? And one woman said, oh my God, yes. She said, the top three areas of my life are the ones that I'm accountable to other people in. So her work, for example, her relationship, and I think her kids, I think. Whereas the lowest three were her health, her own filling her tank time, I call it. You know, some people call it self-care. And there was another one. I think I can't remember what the third one was. But it was a really big insight. And I've actually seen that pattern run a lot. So you're very disciplined when it comes to work time because you're accountable to you starting a new role as well. And you're accountable in your circus class because you physically need to be there doing the circus class in order to learn. And you've got people, I imagine you've got friends and quite close friends now that you practice with as well, or you train with. Whereas the writing is the one that really only happens in our own time. And we're the only ones bearing witness to whether or not it's happening. So that makes total sense to me as to why that might be lower down the pecking order. I think it's just about helping me create some self-accountability for you to try and move it up the pecking order. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Do you think it helps to have, like you mentioned with the circus, one of the drivers is the friends and the social connection. Does it make sense to try and find some writers to connect with to help with the accountability piece?
Yeah, potentially. And I'll be very honest with you, I don't work super well in that kind of group dynamic myself because I'm quite introverted. I kind of just tend to go off and do my thing. So for me, and this is the thing, right? Everyone's going to have different levers to pull in order to get themselves to prioritize and make shit happen. So for me, a big lever is if I set a timely deadline, like that for me, that's just the perfect example that I just shared with you. Remarkability written in 7 weeks because I said I'd do it by my birthday. Like that to me, that like gets the finger out of my ass massively. Whereas for you, if you identify that one of your levers is going to be more around accountability, then 100%, if you've got a couple of friends who are also writing or even just creating projects in any shape or way, shape or form, it could definitely work well where you've got like a monthly check-in with them or like a weekly text message that you exchange for accountability. Do you think that is a lever that works for you personally?
Social pressure is pretty helpful in that context. Yeah, definitely.
and you know, also it would relieve that element of loneliness and can come with creating on your own as well. So I think, absolutely. Yeah, I would. Do you have friends that you could tap into for that?
I think so. I know one of my friends in the circus space recently started. He calls them a stand-up with his sister who's trying to start her own gin making business, and he wants to make a video game. So, and they found that having those weekly checkpoints was really helpful with them staying a bit more accountable with these pretty lofty projects.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And also I think, Michelle, just think about it further, given the societal landscape we're in right now as well, would be to have that, I mean, that extra human interaction can't help. It can't hurt. I mean, sorry, that's wrong. Can't hurt. And I know I'm hearing that a lot, and I'm probably feeling it myself as well, just that sense of loneliness and that lack of social interaction that we're used to having a bit more of. So yeah, by all means, I would explore that for you. It sounds like that's something that would really help you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Now, the other thing I did want to say to you is, so I saw Liz Gilbert speak just before we went into ISO Life. So Elizabeth Gilbert, mm-hmm. who's the author of Eat, Pray, Love. She also wrote Big Magic, Committed. Big Magic is my favorite book ever on creativity. I think it's amazing. So when Liz Gilbert spoke, she was talking about back when she was maybe mid-20s, mid to late 20s, and she was living in New York, and she wanted to write her first novel. And she decided at the age of like 8 that she wanted to be a writer. And she was, you know, doing the classic writer in a garret type thing in New York, doing that. And she shared this story when she spoke on stage about this woman who was a writer, like a creative woman who lived in her neighborhood, and Liz Gilbert chatting to her and saying, you know, I just really want to write my novel, but and I'm not saying this is you for a second. I just thought this was such a good story. I just really want to write my novel. And, you know, I just never seem to have the time. And this woman said to her, well, what? She said, okay, cool. I just kind of nodded, smiling. She said, like, very, very wise, this woman. And she said to Liz, so what's the last movie you saw? Did you enjoy it? And Liz's like, oh, yeah, you know, I really enjoyed this movie. And she said, what's your favorite TV show? And Liz's like, oh, well, I really enjoyed this TV show. And she said, so what are you doing for the summer? You know, it's coming up, so what are you going to do? She's like, oh, I'm going to the beach with my friends for a month. And then Liz Gilbert kind of looked at her and went, And she said, I need to actually not do, what? How did she say? I need to do less of the things that I don't want to do in order to write this book. And this woman just looked at her kind of a little bit sarcastically and said, no, honey, it's so much worse. You need to say no to the stuff that you do want to do in order to write this book. And I just remember that moment of hearing her say, oh, it's so true, because we tell ourselves we don't have the time to do the things. And it's not necessarily about saying no to the stuff that we don't want to do, because that's easy, yeah? Like that's pretty, the stuff we don't want to do is like, well, that's a no-brainer. That's not a difficult decision to make. But it's more actually having to turn down the stuff that we do really want to do, if it's seeing friends or, and I'm not saying you need to drop circus altogether, but is it doing one less circus training session a week in order for you to have more time to focus on your writing? So I'm not saying that is the case or not, but I just thought that was such a powerful story that Liz Gilbert shared. Because it's that whole thing of, you know, you can't have it all. You can have it all, but not at the same time.
No.
And I find that very helpful for me, because I'm a want it all type of person. And if I think when I say not at the same time, it just, I actually feel liberated from that rather than restricted, because it's like, okay, cool. It's okay just to focus on a couple of different things at a time and not feel like I need to be out there busting down every single door at the same time. So I felt intuitively that I should share that story with you. Have you had any, how did that sit with you, what I've just shared?
It makes a lot of sense. The kind of a recent realization I landed on was that I have to be quite disciplined about my sleep and my diet. As much as I love to stay up until midnight watching Netflix and eating all the ice cream in the world, it just becomes so disruptive. And it's to that point you said, which is you have to decide on missing out on some of the things you would like to do to benefit other things that are important in life.
Yeah, yeah. And do you follow Marie Forleo at all?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you read her book?
I thought it was fantastic.
You did? Yeah, me too. So, you know, in the book, so I just want to check if you'd read it because I just want to share a concept that you'll be aware of, but maybe people listening might not be. She talked about the idea that she was, she'd started her business as a life coach, and then she discovered dancing. She actually came to dancing later in life and just loved dancing. And she could never kind of reconcile those two parts of herself because she's like, well, am I a dancer? Am I, you know, trying to build this life coaching business? And then she realized, yeah, I also saw her speak on stage in October last year, and she said she just realized that she could be multi-passionate. And now how she describes herself is, I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur. And I love that when we were chatting, you know, you talked about your three big loves very quickly, almost in the one sentence, which I think is amazing. So I think for you, I would suggest that kind of the key to you living as a multi-passionate person is just to, not just to, it's probably easier said than done, but it's to find the space and the time for each of those different elements of your passion to live and breathe. Because right now I almost get the sense of sardines in a tin, you know, everything's kind of piled up on top of each other. And I mean, I feel like I fit a lot into my week, and I feel pretty overwhelmed listening to your week. You know, there's a lot on. So yeah, I would just sit with that a little bit if I was you and just think about, you know, is there, in order for you to do more writing, is there something that needs to shift and change? And it may not be circus, it may be work. You know, at some point you negotiate to get into a 4-day week, for example, and there, bang, you've got a whole day to write. So I think just, I know for me, I don't get anywhere near as much joy out of the creative process if it's rushed, or there just isn't enough space for it to live and breathe. And on Create Academy, which is my most recent program that I ran, Helen Jacobs, who's a psychic, was talking about the whole idea of when we're bringing creative projects out into the world, we're essentially the midwives, like we're birthing those ideas. And those ideas need space and time and energy to flourish and grow and come out, you know, literally be birthed into the world. So I would apply that lens to your week as well, because it does sound to me like the writing is really important to you. And it sounds like it's an itch that you really want to scratch. So it's just about, how do you create the environment? Almost like, you know, if you're growing a seedling, how do you create the space and the soil and the light and the air and the space for that to grow and thrive, rather than for it to feel, it sounds weird, but like your dirty little secret. We just kind of like, it's almost like you're having an affair, you know, you're trying to rush off and just dash in 30 minutes of writing whenever you can. It's more that there's dedicated time to it, and it gets its chance. It's moment in the sunshine as well.
Absolutely. So I completely do need to find more space for writing. You're really right. How would you suggest dealing with some of that FOMO that I might feel, like when I was talking about driving to circus and I feel like I should be at work? Have you got any tips there?
I think I wouldn't say it's a tip necessarily. It's probably more of a reframe, but I just feel like if you're confident, and it sounds to me like you're a bit of an operator, like it sounds like you get a lot of shit done in your role, and you've got that ability to be very disciplined and committed and focused. And I would just say, if you're getting your stuff done, then if you're driving to, if you're driving to circus school and you're like, crap, I didn't email my boss that report that she needed. I'm not ready for my call tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. You know, if you're driving to circus school feeling like that, well, then you probably need a bit of a reality check. But I don't think that's the case. I think you're feeling guilty, even though there's nothing to feel guilty about. Am I right?
Yes, you are.
Like you're on top of your work, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting. So myself and my husband, Wade, work very, very differently. He's an entrepreneur as well. And last night I was cooking dinner. We'd worked at home together all day yesterday. We were both in and out on calls and walks and so on. And he came out and he's on a really big mission to be more productive. His aim is to get 57 hours a week done of work, and he's up at 5 a.m. working. He works from 5 to 9 every morning. So that's his way of getting 20 hours before his kind of day starts. He goes to the gym down at 9. So yeah. He came out last night and he was like, oh, I'm done now. This is so on the money for what you're talking about, I think. He's like, oh, I've done everything. I've done my entire, you know, I've got everything I wanted to get done today. And I was like, cool, that's great. Like, this is kind of unusual because he has a massive workload. So it was like, I don't know, 6 o'clock, dinner was almost ready. And then he was like, yeah, but I haven't clocked up my hours yet. I was like, okay, so you've got everything, literally you've got everything that you needed to get done today, but you're going to go back and sit in the office because you haven't hit your hours yet. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, that really sounds to me like you're almost disincentivizing yourself. Like, why would you get all your work done if you know you're going to have to do the hours anyway? Do you know what I mean? I was like, I do not understand how your brain works, Wade, sometimes. So anyway, he went back in and he did some pottering around. He wanted to clear his inbox. And he, because in fairness, he had set a goal that he wanted to clear his inbox every day this week. So that's what he was trying to do. So I guess what I'm saying to you is kind of similar to what I said to Wade, is I know that your incentive to get to circus is, so your incentive to get all your work done is, you know that you want to be downing tools at 6 o'clock so you can be in the car by 6:05. So you're at circus, for example, by 6:30.
Yeah.
So I guess my challenge back to you is, why would you disincentivize yourself and feel guilty when you know you've gotten everything done and you're actually getting to earn, you're getting to enjoy your reward, which in this case, it's getting to enjoy your circus class and train with the people that you get on really well with, and you get to move your body and do all the amazing things that you can do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So it's almost my advice to you on that is just to opt out. Like, you've done everything. No one's breathing down your neck saying you haven't done anything, and you're a big girl. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
So seriously. True.
Like, Siri, you can. You can do whatever you want. And you will know very, very quickly if it's not working, because you're going to have someone chasing you for something for the meeting tomorrow morning. You're going to know, you know yourself, you've got that innate sense of, oh crap, things are just starting to spin a bit out of control. So you'll know yourself if that becomes a problem, but nothing at all you're saying to me on this session suggests to me that that's a problem right now.
That's such a good point.
Good, thank you. I'm pretty proud of that one. So give me a bit of a temperature check. Michelle, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good. I think I've got some actions, which I love, that my, you know, high D side of me really likes having
D.
Actions.
Yes.
To follow up on.
Yes.
And then, yeah, you're right. I do need a bit of a reality check about finding that space for writing and getting it a bit more into my life, whether that is looking at dropping to maybe part-time in a couple of months when I'm settled into the job, or just ensuring I'm a bit more disciplined about my weekends and not falling into the trap of those social pressures to, you know, catch up with everyone every other weekend. So,
but also as well, Michelle, thinking about with those social things, like enjoying those as well, because that's when we get our inspo. You know, I've never had a great idea sitting at my desk bashing my head off the keyboard, and I don't actually suffer from writer's block. I never have ever, touched wood, ever suffered from writer's block.
Mm.
And I think it's because of the other elements that I try and incorporate into my life, like yoga, the meditation, hanging out with Lexi, going on date nights. You know, you need to live. I remember interviewing for a PR firm back in London years ago, and I remember asking about the worst question to ask as a junior. I mean, my God, what was I thinking? You know, what's the work-life balance? Do you guys work long hours? I mean, And the person interviewing me said, well, no, because we believe we want our staff out there being consumers. Like, we want them being active in the world so that they can come back and write great strategies and for our clients. And that always made such good sense to me. So in order for our creative projects to really flourish, like, we need to be out in the world actually living in it and getting all that inspo from different places that we get it from as well. So I wouldn't advocate for the monk life writing or creative existence either. So I think just the right dose of social time that you feel connected and inspired, and the people who love you get to hang out with you. I think it's that ever elusive balance, you know. But I don't necessarily think positing ourselves away in the name of creativity is a good thing either.
No, that's very true. Monk life is not for me.
True. Monk life, no. Monk-esque life. I don't even know. I suppose non-life, I guess. So tell me, what actions have you got out of this chat, Michelle?
So I'm going to review my schedule for next week and make sure I'm blocking out some real space for writing.
Nice, love.
And I'm going to set some benchmarks around what success would look like for me. So saying, okay, this is kind of the minimum hours of circus I would like to do versus this is the hours I want to put into work, and carving out a bit of social time in there too.
Yeah, I think that would just, especially now that you've confirmed that you're a D, I think that would work really well, because you're essentially creating your contest with yourself. And Wade is a high, I mean, off the fecking charts D. So for him to have this 57 hours a week thing, like, he's got one goal and that's what he's doing. So
yeah.
I think, yeah, it's about figuring out your own operating manual almost as well, user manual. And the other thing I would say to you as well, just on the benchmarks around social, I know this sounds very mercenaries we're talking about it. I know for me, I'm almost the other way, because I get kind of caught up in working and mum life and Wade and housework and everything, and I don't actually make the time to see my friends. So for me, a big thing is that I want to have a weekly walk. So I have a weekly walk with at least one friend. And this week I've actually got two weekly walks. And the other thing as well is to have a phone call with someone back in Ireland. So last week I spoke to my sister. This week I'm going to speak to a friend. So just there, like my little, and also seeing a friend at the weekend, which is normally more like family friends. Like we've got really good friends who've got kids the same age. So if I was to kind of give you my social benchmarks, it would be to have one long, like really good quality chat with someone back in Ireland. Another one would be to have at least one walk with a friend, walk and talk with a friend, and then to see some kind of family, like best mates at the weekend as well. That's a really sweet spot for me.
Thank you. That's really helpful. I know you're so busy.
No, I don't. I mean, we're as busy as we choose to be, yeah? So,
yeah. I don't think I'm as busy as you,
to be honest, Michelle.
A week.
Okay, was there anything else you wanted to chat about on this call?
I think that covers the main things. I guess the only other one, which I'm not sure we can answer in a short time frame, is like, I guess, how do you know that you're operating at your best? So something I kind of struggle with is can see my week gets too full and then I end up a bit sick or a bit burnt out. And I just have never been able to find kind of that sweet spot of this is just before the red line and, you know, just before the, not right before the burnout zone, but it's the, I'm at the kind of my best productive state without kind of wrecking myself.
That's such a good question. I haven't actually thought about it. And I'm actually, how I would respond to that is I think everyone's, because I think you've already answered the question. It's your body's going to give you the signs, I think. Like the body tells us, because that just manifests. It's our body is the manifestation of everything that's going on in our heads, you know, emotionally and mentally. So I think your body's going to give you the signs. So give me a couple of examples. Like what are the signs to you that maybe you're starting to, what do you say, burn the candle at both ends or running a bit close to the red line? What are they for you?
So I'm one of those unfortunate people that gets cold sores. So
yeah, that's such a good one. Things. Yes. Yeah.
And then it's just generally feeling like quite tired and irritated. And I notice I stop seeing the detail. So if we go for a walk, my boyfriend and I will talk about the people watching aspect. I know if I'm burnt out, I kind of don't notice anything. It just gets hazy, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. That's gold. So you've answered your question. That's, you know, they're your kind of your red flags to yourself. For me, it's when I start to feel resentful of the commitments in my life. So if I have, I mean, this never happens. I'm never resentful about mentoring because it's just like heart and soul work. But if I'm hosting a webinar or I've committed to doing interviews for someone else's podcast, and if I'm starting to get that little flicker of resentment when I know it's something that I would normally really look forward to, that to me is a sign, okay, things are getting a bit too full and we need to have a bit of decompressed time. And my body signs, just going back to what I said to you, for me, it's mouth ulcers, like nothing crazy, but I'll notice, like I went to Queensland, I had three very, very full on days in Queensland. I think I popped 14 hours of mentoring over 2 days. It was epic.
Wow.
And like super fun. But a couple of days later, like my gums were starting to get sore. And that's like, okay, that's my body starting to say, okay, maybe
pull
the jets a little bit. Yeah. So I think you've answered your own question, and it's just, I think it comes with practice as well. It's becoming more and more in tune with our bodies each time. As we get older, it's becoming more and testing our little hypothesis and going, oh yeah, so if I do this, will this work? It's figuring ourselves out, I think. But that's a great question. I'm going to ponder that one more. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Really good question. Okay, my dear. Well, this has been so lovely to chat to you. I'm excited to hear how all the multi-passionate interests go for you. And I just commend you. I think it's so inspiring, you pursuing all these different creative pursuits. I think it's really awesome. And I think offsetting the, you know, maybe the more technical side of your role with the more creative side of your interests, I think it's really inspiring. So thank you.
Thank you so much for the time. This has been awesome.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining this week's episode. I hope that you got, well, first of all, that you enjoyed my chat with Michelle Gardner, and also that you picked up some nuggets that you could apply in your own life as well. So quick reminder again that I've got two free masterclasses happening next Tuesday, 25th of August, all about helping you get back at least 5 hours a week in your life. And you can register via the link in the show notes as well. So as always, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I absolutely love putting together these episodes for you. It is an absolute joy. And yeah, as always, love hearing your feedback and ideas from the episodes as well. So until next week, I will say goodbye. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is at Lorraine Remarks, and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.